So today, daylight savings ends. So that means it's lighter in the morning and it's darker at night. And last week we talked about just like the dim of darkness, and little by little, all the way into December, we get less daylight. This morning I was visiting one of the Sunday school classes that meets at 8 o'clock, and sometimes I'm not rolling in quite at 8 o'clock to say hello to them, but I was in there today, and they're like, "Boy, you're real chipper." I'm like, "I slept an hour longer." I'm like, "It's easy to get up. The sun is shining, and I got an extra hour of sleep." But that soon will change as well. There won't be as much light, and since it's dark earlier, there's some. You go to work in the dark and you come home in the dark. And if you work in an office or in a factory or someplace, you don't see. You don't see the light, the sunlight at all. The impact of darkness. What is the impact of darkness? Well, I think that for me, one of the things that happens is that I'm just less motivated to get things done. I perhaps accomplish less around the house that I used to. That project, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to get that done. It's come spring, it'll probably still not be done. I mean, there's just this motivation. It's that drops. Some of you may be thinking, yeah, I just want to be a couch potato. I need to be a couch potato. I already got the 3 or 4 shows that I'm going to track with all winter long. You know what I'm talking about. You already know, because that's how you are planning to spend the dark winter months, being a couch potato, tracking with something. The motivation. There's spiritual distractions that seem to escalate during this time as well. And week one in this series of light and darkness, we just talked about like a lot of bad things seem to happen at night or in the dark. And now we have more dark. What's that going to do? And what we experience here is minimal compared to what some experience during the long winter months. For example, in Alaska, I mean, it's a beautiful state, and perhaps I will visit there someday. It has vast resources. It's a vast territory. It's twice the size of Texas, and Alaska will cover 1/5 of the lower United States. I mean, it is huge. It's a huge state. But it gets dark, and it stays dark for a very long time. The most northern town in Alaska, Barrow, Alaska, if you live there, you will experience nearly or over 2 months of dark winter. No sun from November 18th to January 22nd. You want to pack your bags and head out? No sun from January 18th to November 22nd. And of course, the sunlight leading up to that is minimal, too. What's in reverse is 80 days of summer months where there's no darkness at all, May 11th through July 31st, just all the time light. A man named Lloyd, he just kind of shrugs off the sub-zero freeze that blankets over his town. It's weeks of endless nights. He says that it fills him with an insatiable craving for carbohydrates. Waistlines in Alaska expand during that time. You long for sleep. You long for natural light. He says this: there comes a time when you don't know if it's morning or evening. You just get confused. Wow. What a world to live in there. While some Alaskans embrace winter, others cope by exposing them to bright light therapy, which seems to help some. Others take antidepressants And some medicate themselves with drugs or alcohol just to get through the darkness. And there are those who say, I am out of here. They're like, let's get out of Alaska, even for a short period of time. One lady says this, I try to get away as much as possible. The darkness gets to me terribly. I just got back from Anaheim, California, and it made a huge difference just visiting 10 days. I felt so much more energetic. 2 days after I got back, I was pushing myself to get out of bed. You see, it's just short-lasting, this short getaway. When you live in darkness, there is an effect. There is an effect. Additional effects for those who live in Alaska and even those who live in places around here, even with not much sunlight during this season, weak bones, the potential for increased diabetes and tuberculosis, dementia, cancer, obesity, alcoholism. Alaska natives abuse alcohol at a higher rate than all ethnic groups in the U.S. There's more alcoholic abuse in Alaska among those natives of Alaska than anywhere else. In addition to alcohol-related causes of death, natives have significantly higher rates of drug abuse, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, and suicide. You can't tell me that darkness has no effect. The mental health takes its toll in the year's darkest days. There is this disorder called SAD. It's called seasonal affective disorder, and you don't have to live in Alaska to experience this. Several, even in this room, I'm sure to some degree have been affected by seasonal affective disorder. It is a subtype of depression that involves many of the same symptoms, including loss of energy, a lack of interest in usual enjoyable activities, oversleeping, feelings of hopelessness. Decreased sunlight can cause drops in your body's production of serotonin, a brain chemical that helps to determine moods. I mean, this is real. Darkness has an effect. It has an effect on our body. It has an effect on our emotions. It has an effect on our relationships with one another. And darkness has an effect on our relationship with God. And of course, the darkness of which I speak is literally darkness, because I think during this time there can be a spiritual apathy that can set in, and we just hunker down on survival and becoming a couch potato or whatever it may be, instead of thriving spiritually. Darkness has its effect. This seasonal affective disorder, nearly 10% of Alaskans suffer from it. Again, there's lethargy, a heightened desire for sleep, cravings for carbohydrates, a melancholy, fuzzy thinking, loss of social ability, just want to isolate themselves. In darkness, crime increases, as does suicide. And to top it all off, in January of 2018, Alaska was named the most dangerous state to live in. Want to pack your bags? Darkness has an effect. We live in a dark world. So if we live in a dark world, how is the darkness of this world affecting us? And you're like, no, it's not affecting me. No? There are some ways in which we can avoid or minimize the effect upon us, but when we live in a dark world, we will be affected by it. Don't be fooled that you and your family, whatever, is immune from the effects of darkness. When darkness comes, the only solution is the light. And Christ, as we've discovered, is the light. So how do we function in in a world of darkness? And how do we stay immune or avoid some of the pitfalls that might come? So I'd like to offer four warnings related to the effects of darkness. The first is this: beware of isolation. Beware of isolation. There is a tendency, as was reported here by one of the psychologists, is that there is this lack of sociability that comes, that darkness brings. Spiritually, what that looks like is this isolation of, I'm okay on my own. I'm okay, I can handle this on my own. Beware of that. Beware of being drawn to just saying, just me, myself, and I'm not going to let anyone in. This isolation will keep you in the dark. And darkness will encourage isolation. It will encourage that. It keeps, this isolation will keep us in sin. It will keep us pointing in the direction that will only lead to more troubles and more hardship. So beware of that. There are a couple of verses here, and you can turn to either of them if you want to. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says this: therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. We have this responsibility and opportunity to encourage one another. We need each other. I know there's some who go, no, I don't need anyone else. I got this. God created us to need Christian community. And darkness will try to keep us hidden from one another. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. We can help each other. We can sharpen each other. We have that. You can't sharpen yourself. We need one another. You could turn to Hebrews chapter 10 because it blends these two points, the first point and the second point, together. Hebrews chapter 10, which leads us to the second point, and warning is this: beware of minimalizing the importance of regular church attendance. In Hebrews chapter 10, 24, it says that we ought to let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Hebrews chapter 10. And then it continues and says this: and let us not neglect, let us not forget the meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, the assembling of ourselves. Don't neglect that. We need each other to spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And one of the ways and we do that is in this Christian community of worship. I just want to encourage you and remind you that your participation and attendance week after week here is good. It's not just good for you, it's good for us. As together, we can help one another. And what darkness will want to do is to pull us away from Christian worship and Christian community and gathering. Acts chapter 2 gives a wonderful picture of the early church. And when the Holy Spirit came, it filled the believers and said that they gathered in the temple courts and in their homes. One of the things that you'll read in the narrative budget will be a goal that we have to increase this sense of relationships with one another, not just in here when we're shaking hands, in between the service, but in our homes, in the temple and in the home, at church and in our homes. And our society has come to a point where we have shut the doors of the home, and I think that is one of the ploys of darkness, because relationship and community flourish in the home, and when we open our homes to one another, and that the gathering of with one another needs to happen here, and it needs to happen outside of here. Why? Because we need to keep the light burning. If you've ever been around a campfire, there's, you know, you throw the wood on the fire, and then in time, it's not a blaze as much. And so if you're sitting there, you'll tell someone, hey, could you go over there and throw another log on the fire? We need each other to throw another log on our spiritual fire. And this is what our gatherings and our relationships, to keep the light so it doesn't just dim. A third warning related to the effects of darkness is beware of neglecting the Word of God. Darkness will want to keep us far away from the Word of God. If there's something in your life right now that is keeping you from spending time in the Word, I would dare say it's related to darkness. The excuse or whatever, if you boil it down, that there's something there. Why do I say that? Because darkness wants to keep us in the dark. And Psalm 119, 105 says this, the word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You want to make decisions? Spend time in the word. You want to make right decisions? Spend time in the word. You want to know how to respond to particular situations? Spend time in the word. It is the word of God. Otherwise, we're trying to make decisions in the dark. It's like driving down the road without your headlights on. It's like walking through the house and you bump into something. You know, if I'm getting up before Heidi is and I'm trying to get to the closet and not turn the light on, you know, to wake her up, I may think I'm heading right to the closet, and then all of a sudden I'm at the window or something, you know, some other place, some other wall, and I'm like, move over, all right, there I am. This is the way we are spiritually. We're trying to go in a particular direction in the dark. But all I need, I have a flashlight in my closet, so I take the flashlight, and then I can see what I'm doing without turning the other light on. I'm just looking for that flashlight. Turn around, there it is, now I can go. God's word is a flashlight. It is a lamp to our feet, a light unto our path. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8 says this, be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn to the right or to the left. So it's like, so you can walk straight and narrow. Keep this book of the law, keep my word always on your lips and meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Charles Stanley says this related to the importance and the benefits of God's word. God's word leads us to salvation. The scripture guides our steps. God's word directs us to wisdom. The word of God brings joy. God's word lifts our burden, and the scriptures gives us peace. Anyone want that? Yeah, I'll take that. I'll take a dose of that peace. I'll take a dose of that wisdom and that discernment. Spend time in the word. It is the word of God that has the impact. Therefore, since the word is light, then darkness will want to keep us from it. Just know that. Darkness will want to keep you from God's word. The fourth area is beware of counterfeit light. What? Counterfeit light? What is that? Counterfeit light is something that appears to be right, something that appears to be true, something that appears to be, you know, it's trustworthy, it's reliable, but it's not. The counterfeit light, as we find in Scripture specifically, is the devil. You can look up 2 Corinthians 11:14 if you want. I also have it here. Go ahead and put that up there. Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. So what's that saying? It's saying that the devil He's been so jealous of God all along, so prideful of himself, so wanting to be like God, that he now masquerades as light. And in so doing, brings confusion. In so doing, brings destruction. In so doing, provides for those who are vulnerable an excuse or a rationalization for something that seems that it could be acceptable or right, but it is not. It's a counterfeit light. And it says it's not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Not everyone that we come across or everything that we are told will be truth. And it says their end will be what their actions deserve. Masquerading as light. It pretends to be something that it's not, to mislead, to deceive, and to destroy. And I ask you, do you know what the target of this counterfeit light is? You. You are the target of the counterfeit light. Why? Because the devil doesn't want us to do anything that would please God. If we make it our ambition to please him, then the devil wants us to do everything that doesn't please him. And he will do what he can to deceive us. Which means that well-intentioned people could be following a path of darkness and not even really know it. How do we avoid that? You avoid the counterfeit by spending time with the real thing. I think you've heard this illustration before. You know, it's the person who's trying to figure out, is this money counterfeit or not? The way in which they train them is to put the real thing in their hand. So it is with us, with counterfeit light. Spend time with the real thing. Spend time with Christ. He said, I am the light of the world. I've come that you may have light. And live in it. But your family, your faith, it is a target of the devil. And he's not holding anything back. He's not. And what happens is that we become, well, I'll say we become something like this. We become like a deer caught in the headlights. Why do deer do that? I don't know if you've been driving down the road and all of a sudden, I mean, this is the season, right? A lot of times they're like running across and I'm like, whoa, but every once in a while there'll be this deer that just stands there. It's like, don't you know what's coming? Why are you doing that? Why do they do that? It's in part because of their eyes. Deer eyes have, they're more rods than cones. The deer is actually blinded. They see best in the real light, right at dusk and dawn, and they roam and they're out. But when the light comes in the darkness and it shines so bright on them, they're blinded and they're not sure what to do, and then it's too late. It's a counterfeit light. The truck that's coming down the road with its headlights, it's not the real thing. And the deer doesn't know it. The deer's going, what? Oh, light. But it's counterfeit. And destruction and hardship and troubles will always follow when we fall into the counterfeit light. And the devil from the beginning has had this plan to not necessarily make it so pitch black dark that we know, like, oh, that's so dark, there's that. But the devil has that dimmer effect, like it's just twisted light. We live in a world of twisted light, a world that says that certain things are right when they're not, distorting what sexuality is, distorting what relationships ought to be like, distorting what is acceptable to behaviors and like it's not really stealing or you know, that I said that, but, you know, it doesn't really matter. We live in this dark world, a just twisted truth. Beware of counterfeit light, twisted truth. It's been a ploy of the enemy from the very beginning. So how do we move from this? Well, we spend time in the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever walks in me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. So we have troubles. The problem comes is when our eyes shift off the true light, when our eyes are shifting. And when our eyes shift off the true light, this, I think, is when we are more irritated. When our eyes shift off the true light, it's when we're more impatient. It's when we're annoyed. We get angry easier when we shift our light. We get soured and selfish, critical and crazy, hostile and hot-tempered, gossiped and greedy, revengeful and rude, and the list goes on when we take our focus off the light. But when we keep our focus on the light, that remarkably, those kinds of issues can be remedied. And we often think, like, it's the other person's problem. If they wouldn't do that, then it's us. Our reactions are our reactions. And we are accountable for our reactions and our attitudes and our deeds. So if you want to avoid the plan of darkness and the plot of the counterfeit light, then we need to spend time in the light. So if you want to be more loving, as the fruit of the Spirit is, love, then spend time in the light. If you want to be more joyful, spend time in the light. If you desire to be more peaceful and more patient, spend time in the light. If those around you would love for you to be more kind and gentle, then spend time in the light. If you need more goodness, if you need more faithfulness, more self-control, you got it. Spend time in the light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. Let us walk as he is in the light, not walk in darkness. And for some of us, just the first decision, a response, is going to be a small one, but a significant one. I encourage us just to turn our face towards him. You know, there are times when it's just like so cold and whatever, but then if I could turn my face towards the sun, if there's a little bit, it comes and it just warms the whole thing, even though not a lot has changed, but if I just look in the sun, I'm inviting you to look in the sun, to turn your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, to walk in the light and to avoid the pitfalls of darkness. Jesus, oh, that we would turn our eyes to you. Just turn our gaze to you. Something has gotten in the way, and we need to repent that. It has isolated us. It has minimalized our time in the Word or in worship. It has caused us to be more reactionary to the darkness and rather bringing light into the darkness. Jesus, today we make a commitment to turn our gaze to you. Shine on us. May we walk in the light as you are in the light. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.